Shall we pray? Father, please open our hearts and our minds to your love for us and your grace, and help us to respond to your message this morning. Amen. So just once or twice in my life, I've bought shares in a company. Usually it was because I really believed in them. And actually, I was working for them at the time, which is probably why I believed in them. If you don't believe in something, it's difficult to put your weight behind it, isn't it? They were French or American companies, I recall. And I never really made much money from them. In fact, I lost probably more money than I put in, I would imagine, but not much. It was small fry anyway. But I was proud to help each of those companies on their way. It was my company. I loved it when people bought our stuff, when people benefited from our services, because I knew it was good, it was wholesome, and it was good for their customers as well. So I was proud every time I saw our product being used for a new reason or a new way. I was invested in the company. More recently, I had shares in Microsoft, and that was because I was working for them, and they had given me a lot of time off to actually do the training to become a vicar. So I owe them quite a lot. And what about those mad individuals who buy football clubs? Some at the very top of the Premiership will put probably billions almost, or certainly many millions into a Premiership club, probably knowing that they're not going to get it back again, but that they're passionate about it, and they want to see the crowd pleased, and they want to, I guess they've got some perverse enjoyment from doing that. I suppose locally we have Delia, who put some of her fortune into Norwich, so it even happens around here as well. Well, we have an opportunity, I believe, to have that feeling ourselves. But not for a football club or for a company, but for something which is so much more worthwhile, something that has eternal value in doing what God wants us to do here at St. Mary's. In this building during the week, we had a meeting which was led by the diocese, and they were describing their thoughts about the strategy for the church in the Ely Diocese. That's pretty much Cambridgeshire and a few other bits and pieces around it. And the archdeacon here was sharing what the position was. And to be fair, it wasn't really very good news, a lot of it. We were told about a church that is actually declining. In the last 20 years, the population of Cambridgeshire has gone up by 18%, but church attendance in Church of England churches has only gone up 2%. So that's quite a decline in real terms. Most churches around us have few or no children at all in the congregations. They have no future, in other words, at all. And their buildings are millstones around their neck because they can't be used during the week. Basically, they're going out of business. And yet there are beacons of hope around Cambridgeshire, churches which are growing, where every age group is represented between 0 and 95 or 100. Churches that are making a difference in their schools, in their workplaces, in their communities. And St. Mary's is one of those. I feel we have an opportunity to lead the way in this diocese, to build on the legacy of the past decades here at St. Mary's, and to become even more vibrant, more prayerful, a place where more people can find faith, where people throw in their lot with the body of Christ, the church. I'd like to pray that this generation is the generation when we once again become mainstream here in Ely, where we become the heartbeat of this city, as we were in times gone by. Last Saturday, we had 17 wedding couples who attended wedding preparation with us in the church halls. And they were considering the values that they were going to have for their marriage. They were thinking about how they were going to communicate with each other, what their sex lives were going to be like, and also how they were going to handle their money together. They wanted wholesome marriages, lifelong and faithful, which contribute to society. I'd like to pray that in this generation, every couple embraces the church to prepare for their wedding in that way, that couples commit to each other and to God for life, and that those that do get into trouble turn to us for help. Over the next couple of weeks, three families will give thanks to God for their children in this place. Two will be baptized. I'd like to pray that in this generation, it becomes the norm when every couple wants to come to the church to give thanks for their son or daughter. We'll see St. Mary's as the place to do it. That would be 250 couples in Ely every year. I don't know how many we get at the moment. Margaret would be able to tell me, but it's probably nearer 40, I think. I pray that this generation will be one where once again we offer here at St. Mary's the highest quality of pastoral work, where no one who's living alone or housebound need feel lonely again. St. Mary's becomes a family, a community, where no one need be isolated, where everybody can find friends. I'd like to pray that this generation is the generation where everybody comes to the church if they're bereaved or they've had bad news, so that they can be cared for and followed up. I think we had 40 funerals in here last year. That only represents about, under 20% of the people who pass away in Ely, their families decide to have their funerals in the church. I'd like to think we could become the generation where we represent God's love to everybody in these pastoral situations. Is there any reason why that shouldn't be true? I'd like to pray that this is the generation when instead of 4% of the city of Ely attending church on a Sunday morning, it becomes the norm to look to church for purpose and vision in our lives, where hundreds are hungry for God, thirsty for his love, and find faith and throw their lot in with God. I'd like to pray that we have to add congregations to our Sunday here at St. Mary's, because the two that we have just can no longer cope, simply because the witness which we offer to the surrounding people around us, the neighbours and friends and schools, we're just too irresistible for them because of the grace and love of God which is reflected through us. Not that we're anything very special, but when we invite God into our lives, we become irresistible. I'd like to pray that this is the generation when those of us in St. Mary's, everybody in this room, starts taking our faith really seriously, reading the Bible and praying together and alone, that we become more confident in our faith, stronger. We become salt and light for the people of Ely and the surrounding villages as well. I pray that this is the generation where we really invest in our teenagers and help to encourage them to develop their God-given gifts, so that by the time they get to university or a workplace, they have become leaders. They become people who speak out, thinkers, influencers in their generation. It becomes second nature to them to make great decisions for their lives. Is this too much to expect? I'd like to pray that this is the generation where the children of Ely flock to St. Mary's, excited to discover God's future for them and for their friends. We invest in our Sunday school, Jesus and Me, so that it becomes as important to families as school every day. I pray that this generation will be the generation where we, the people of St. Mary's, demonstrate God's love by investing in mission. We heard about Potter's Village earlier, and that's fantastic. But also the food bank, our CAP money advice service, parish nursing, pastoral care, where once again the church is playing the role it's called to by God and in the community. And finally, I'd like to pray that this is the generation where this building is opened up every day. Instead of just being open for about an average of 7 hours a week, suddenly we can open it up for 70 hours a week. That it can be made beautiful again as it once was, becomes the heart of the community of Ely, the centre of everything we've just been talking about. Is this such a pipe dream? Well, it's a great hope and it's a great vision, and I believe it's what we're being called by God to do. But it will take sacrifice. Last Saturday and Sunday we were here praying for the 24-hour period, and that's great to have a real foundation of prayer for everything we do. And so many of us put time into this church. This room is full of people who sacrifice their time. And today, the bad news is I'm going to be focusing a little bit on money for a few minutes. over the coming months and years, if we're going to fulfill that vision, is going to take most of us to be pretty serious about our giving to the church. When I first became a Christian, I didn't have much money, but I gave my energy and time, and I prayed. And that was very fulfilling in itself, and it was wonderful. But over time, something shifted within me, and I went from being somebody who received and relied on others to fund the church to somebody who invested in God's kingdom. And it feels good, because I love it when people join the church. I love it when people's lives are transformed. It's our space. We've invested in it. It's great. So we all have the opportunity to invest in St. Mary's, an opportunity to give, an opportunity to move from being a receiver to being somebody who gives, an investor. So I'm inviting everyone today who's a part of our community, who's been touched in any way while they've been part of this community, to give to what God is doing through St. Mary's. We're convinced that our finest days are not behind us, but we're convinced they're ahead of us. We're convinced that what God wants us to do is going to require resources and finance. And the great thing is, if you become an investor, any life-changing thing that happens to anybody in here, any marriage that is put on a better foundation, any child who gets a better Christian understanding at Sunday school, any teenager who is mentored, you can say, I was part of that. I invested in that. It will have been down to you. So how does this investment thing work in God's kingdom? How do we as Christians respond? Well, generosity is a fundamental part of our faith and our discipleship. It's how we make a difference. It's an indication of the vibrancy of our faith and our community. The Bible shows us time and again how God's is extravagant. The wine overflowing at the wedding. The 12 basketfuls of bread left over. Jesus' unstinting sharing of himself on the cross. And the way the early church gathered, poor though they were, and supported Christians and church planting all over the Middle East. As we try to become more Christ-like, Jesus shows us a radically different way of living. In Deuteronomy, God says, if there is among you anyone in need, a member of your community, in any of your towns, within the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand willingly, lending enough or giving enough to meet the need, whatever it may be. You see, the emphasis of Jesus is less on how much we give and to whom. It's more about where our heart is, what's most important to us, where we find our security. We heard that in our readings this morning, didn't we? Where is our security? Is it in finances, or is it in God? It's hard to learn what it means to trust God in our finances, because those of us who are rich are in danger of having our faith dulled by our wealth. It's too easy to happen. I know that from my own experience. So how do we give? In Proverbs, God says, honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. In Corinthians, Paul says, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. So the Bible suggests that generous giving is about a priority, our heart, rather than our spare change that we just drop in on the way past. It's prayerful. It's an act of worship. Giving is an act of worship. It's not something which is just a trivial thing. So it should be planned. And it should be proportionate, realistic to our income. Sacrificial, it should actually make a difference to our lives. Communal, for the needs of others. And cheerful, given as an offering to God, as a present to God. And there's different approaches. in the Bible. One of them is to offer our first fruits. So we're not farmers, so we can't offer the first sort of few bucketfuls of our harvest to him. But what we could do, for example, is offer the very first hour of our time every week. So that 9 to 10 o'clock slot, if that's your first hour, everything you earn in that hour every week, you give to God. That's one of the ways in which the Bible describes our giving. Another way is to decide that you're going to give a percentage of your income, a fixed percentage every month. If you're really serious, the Bible talks about tithing, where people give 10% of their income after tax to God. I had a friend, I have a friend, Brian, who spent some time in Paris with his wife, and they joined a Salvation Army church, which was right there in the red light district of Paris, and it was doing an amazing work. They had three outreach workers working amongst the prostitutes and the people who were working the streets around that area of Paris. But there were only 30 people in the church. And Brian, on the second or third week he was there, he was a bit bowled over by this. And he said, well, how do you do this? How do you manage? Assuming the Salvation Army was funding it from somewhere. And they said, no, we're independent. We look after ourselves. All our finance comes from ourselves. And Brian said, well, how does that happen? And they said, well, that's a no-brainer. There's 30 adults in this congregation. We're all giving 10% of our income. Therefore, we can support three outreach workers. Duh. It's obvious. And Brian was bowled over by that. And from that minute, he and Sue gave 10% of their income, actually before tax in their case, to the church every month. And they have done ever since. I want to reassure you as well that Deb and I are committed to tithing our 10% to the church, so you don't think I'm standing up here suggesting one thing and not doing it ourselves. The Church of England has a different suggestion. It says give 5% of your income to the Church of England, your local church on the ground, and then give another 5% maybe to Christian charities. So there's lots of different ways of looking at it. But the Bible does expect us to sacrifice, not because the church wants your money, it's because we want to invest in God's vision. We want to build God's church with him in this community so that we can make a real difference. And if you do give, try and give through the bank and gift aid it, because then we get the tax back from the government, which is, again, adds another 20% to our income. And another thing we've been thinking about on the PCC, and Deb and I haven't talked about this yet, but we need to fairly soon, is about legacies. It's a good thing to put something in our will as well to give to the church. And that's what it won't be Sunday lunchtime that Deb and I will be talking about it, but sometime in the next month or so, probably. So we as a church have set almost balanced budget this year. We're a bit slightly optimistic. It's good, but it's not exciting. It's basically a budget for £200,000, which enables us to do what we're doing now and just make things a little bit more interesting around the edges. Begin to breathe some life into some of the things we think God wants us to do. But does it reflect God's ambition and plan and passion for St. Mary's? Just think what we could all achieve together if we took one of the approaches to giving that Paul suggests in the Bible and that God would want us to do. I think the picture is a bit like building that barn, like the Amish community did. When we all come together, when everybody gives their time, prays, and gives their money, everything is possible. Anything is possible. So I'd like you to encourage you to consider your current investment to this enterprise of God. I wonder whether we could start by aiming to get to 250,000 so that we can begin to kick off together some of those projects. And I promise you that we'll make sure not a penny is wasted. We can make some real choices for God's work around here. We could be the generation when these things happen. We can become the mainstream again in Ely. We can become the heartbeat of this community. Let's pray. Generous God, you give us so much. Every breath is a gift from you. Every sight, every sound, every taste, every touch, every friend, every loved one. Lord Jesus, teach us now to respond to your abundance with love and imagination, and to share your generosity with a needy world through a servant church, St. Mary's. May ours be a living faith that makes a difference in the lives of others through the extravagant love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.